This is Detroit Today on 101.9 WDET. I'm Stephen Henderson, and as always, thanks for tuning in. When you drive through Detroit, do you ever wonder how come there's so much empty land? City blocks that look like meadows and are full of pheasants and overgrown grass. We know the stories, we know the reasoning. There was incredible racial unrest in our city. There was white flight, lack of employment opportunities, incredible disinvestment. That's what created the prairie-like places that we see all over our city. But taxes are also a large part of this narrative, and they often get left out. Compared to other major American cities, Detroit has some of the highest property tax rates. Any of us who live in the city can talk about the crazy numbers that we see on that tax bill every year. And when you pair that with some of the lowest property values, it's easy to see how homeowners suffer. A new study published by the Lincoln Institute of Land Policy offers an alternative that might help those of us who own homes in the city of Detroit and encourage more development on much of this empty land. It's called split rate property taxation, and it suggests that land be taxed 5 times more when it's empty than when there's a building on it. Now, this would be something that had a profound effect on speculators in the city. Speculators like the Illich family, for instance, who have sat on a lot of vacant land for a really long time. And then in our neighborhoods, think of the folks who go, for instance, to the tax auction each year and just sweep up properties in the hope that they might be worth more someday and that they could make a profit. There's a lot of empty land in this city, so much that it defies many practical solutions that you might employ in other places. So the question is split rate taxation one of the ways that we get back to a rational market for real estate and taxation in Detroit? John Anderson is co-author of the study from the Lincoln Institute of Land Policy, and he's here with us to explain exactly how split rate taxation works, where it's already used, and how this could help rescue Detroit from another possible bankruptcy. John Anderson, welcome to Detroit Today.
Thank you, Stephen. It's a pleasure to be with you.
So let's start with a definition. What is split rate property taxation?
Yeah, that's a good place to start. It's unlike the traditional property tax, which applies the same tax rate to both the value of the land and the value of a structure that may be on the land. In this case, you split the rates and you apply a higher rate of taxation to the land portion of the property value and a lower rate to the improvements or the buildings value portion of the property value. So you can split the rate, but the basic idea is a higher tax on land relative to the tax on structures.
And the goal here, I think it's not terribly difficult to grasp, but it's not all that obvious. Why would this help Detroit homeowners if we did this?
Well, yeah, that's a good question. And when we think about the impacts of property taxation, we're thinking about two primary goals, right? The one goal is the efficiency of the tax system, and the other is the equity of the tax system. And so from an efficiency point of view, we're talking about the extent to which the tax distorts markets, either markets for land or real estate markets for structures. And so we don't want the tax to create distortions in the real estate market. So what would happen with a higher tax on land, of course, is that it would discourage the holding of vacant land, as you have mentioned already. And it would remove the disincentive there is for making improvements on the land, developing the land or redeveloping the land and putting structures on it. So that side of it is the efficiency effects, right? Discouraging the holding of vacant land and encouraging the development of the land with structures. The other goal, of course, has to do with equity, fairness in the property tax system, and we care about that immensely as well. And in this case, our estimates of a two rate or split rate property tax system in Detroit would result in a reduction in property tax bills for the vast majority of residential property owners in the city. And of course, lower property tax bills would result in higher property values for those homeowners.
Yeah. So as part of your study, you looked at some municipalities in Pennsylvania that adopted these split rate tax systems. I'm wondering if you can talk about how it worked out for them and whether we could expect the same results in a city like Detroit, which, as I was saying in the open, is really kind of different from most other cities in the sense of its size and how much vacant land we have essentially created over the last 50 years.
Yeah, that's a good question. And so we commissioned several background studies as part of the larger study here. And one of those focused specifically on Pennsylvania cities where they have implemented split rate taxes. Approximately 20 cities in Pennsylvania have had or currently have split rate taxes. Most notably, the city of Pittsburgh, which had a split rate tax regime for quite a few years. And in particular, during the 1970s and 80s, when Pittsburgh was a declining industrial city due to the steel industry. So not completely unlike Detroit in that regard. Some of the other Pennsylvania cities we looked at are smaller, of course, and maybe not as comparable to the city of Detroit. But the analysis of the impacts of split rate taxation in the Pittsburgh cities were incorporated into our thinking about what could happen in Detroit. The evidence is that the split rate system encouraged business formation or business location in those Pennsylvania cities, which would be beneficial. We think the same thing would be likely to happen in Detroit as a result of the implementation of a split rate tax system. So increased business activity and increased overall property values as a result of the split rate system. The value of land may go down somewhat according to our estimates, but the overall property values go up because of the lighter taxation of the structures.
Mm-hmm. I want to introduce another voice to this conversation. Allie Gross is a freelance journalist based here in Detroit, and she has been covering real estate issues in Detroit from a lot of different angles, like speculation, land loss, gentrification, and other issues. Allie, welcome back to Detroit Today.
Hey, hi. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. So I wonder if you can talk first about how land speculation, which is what drives a lot of, I think, the existence of empty land in Detroit, harms Detroiters. What is this speculation about, and how is it affecting those of us who own houses here?
Sure. Speculators, as you just pointed out, they're some of the biggest producers of blight in the city, and their kind of game plan is to buy property and then just kind of wait. Wait until there's maybe a development nearby or more people are moving to the neighborhood and property values start increasing. And then they might do something with the property. But the idea is that during that waiting game, they try to keep their expenses as low as possible. And so they are doing very little with that land that they are sitting on, typically purchased from the Wayne County Tax Auction. A University of Michigan Dearborn report on the consequences of speculative bulk buying found that speculators accounted for 90% of all purchases at the auction between 2005 and 2015. So for many of the purchasers, it just makes more financial sense to just wait. And the current tax scheme doesn't exactly discourage that. When taxes are low for just land, it's easy then. There's not a lot of pressure to make a choice of what you're going to do. Waiting can feel like a great option for these speculators.
Yeah. Allie, do you think this is something that if we put it into the mix would help Detroit homeowners? Would this break the grip that speculators have on this vacant land, and would it make rates better, I guess, over time for homeowners?
Yeah. When I spoke with John's colleague, Mick Allen, for an article we did on split rate tax back in December, he kind of pointed out how right now the tax rate is so high in Detroit, especially for improvements, that the only way for developers to do business in the city is really through tax abatements. And Nick kind of compared the split rate tax to an abatement that's more spread out equitably. So it's not just a few people getting it or big developers, but this would help a lot of homeowners see their tax bill go down. I think also there's two sides to this. So it could help homeowners. But then I think the discouragement for the speculator also helps homeowners, because we know that property values, safety in neighborhood, they all go down. Because one speculation occurs, one blight occurs. And so having recourses in place that could discourage this sort of practice seems like a win overall. I when the piece came out, I saw some critics kind of point out that we have blight tickets that people could get if they're not maintaining their property. But one issue that has come up is speculators also have a lot of hold over the city. And mm-hmm. So if they have a property, for example, that is desirable, and there's a new development coming up, as we saw with the FCA deal back in 2019, we saw many large-scale property owners trade land with the city.
Yeah.
And they came out on top. So one example I'm thinking of is Michael Kelly. He had five parcels that the city wanted that he purchased between 1999 and 2003 for a couple hundred bucks. In exchange, he got 15 new properties. And he was released from more than $1.1 million in unpaid property taxes and more than 800 blight tickets.
Wow.
So I think this is a good example of why the split rate tax could be effective. Because if the city keeps wiping away these fines because individuals have land that they want, it's not super effective. The real answer is trying to eliminate this type of speculation so that type of trade-off doesn't happen.
Yeah, yeah. The number here on the phones is 313-577-1019. That's 313-577-1019. Call and tell us what you think of the idea of a split tax rate solution to Detroit's great land speculation and emptiness issue. Rachel in Detroit, welcome to the program. What's on your mind?
Hi, Stephen.
Hi.
Yeah, I'm calling in because I was just listening for my car. I'm a professor in urban regional planning, and I've also done a lot of urban farming in Detroit. And mm-hmm. So the first thing that comes to my mind is, you know, a project like the Black Land Fund for farmers in the city, and that a very important part of Detroit's past and also current cultural landscape is the ability for Black communities to regain access to land in the city.
Mm-hmm.
So for people like, you know, friends on the east side at Freedom, or in Corktown who own Brother Nature Farm, I think something like this split tax could actually be a taxation on community forms of land use on properties that would otherwise be vacant or not used.
Yeah.
And I think something that could be, you know, slightly more effective or even combined with something like a split tax idea is a consumption tax. And I know that's, you know, fairly anti-American, but something like a consumption tax for corporate owners, for institutional owners, as we mm-hmm. call it in housing justice world, or for speculators mm-hmm. who own multiple properties who are generating an income off of those properties. So generating an income speculatively, knowing that they're going to be able to sell those in the future, or generating right. income because they're large or even mid-sized landlords in the city.
Yeah.
So I think something like a combined you know, split tax as well as a consumption tax is something that could prevent community forms of land use.
Yeah, from being punished by something like this. Rachel, it's a great question, and we have a similar question on Twitter from Chase Cantrell, who says, you know, what about Detroiters who bought side lots? You know, a lot of people have, you know, a lot next to them that's empty that they take care of, and it was a way to take better care of empty lots. John, I wonder if you can answer those questions. We're running out of time, of course, on the show, but I want to have you talk about that.
Yeah, well, the issue of side lots is very interesting because there are also impediments in Detroit in terms of the legal way in which you might be able to combine that side lot with your existing home lot. There are zoning restrictions as well on some of the lots in Detroit in terms of whether they're buildable or not. And so there are a number of other issues that have to be addressed here in terms of updating the zoning codes and making it easier for people to acquire things like side lots, legally combine them with the legal description of their existing home lot, mm-hmm. And then looking at the combined value of the land and structures mm-hmm. on that property.
And, so, and what about community ownership of land, these farms, right? And the effort to make sure African Americans get more access to property.
Yeah, that's an important issue, and would have to also be looked at in terms of the state of Michigan's statutes regarding agricultural land taxation. So that's another factor that would have to be taken into account.
Yeah, Allie, I hear you trying to jump in there. I've got about 30 seconds.
This came up when I spoke with John's colleague Nick Allen. And you pointed out that many of the farms in Detroit are actually nonprofits, so non-taxable.
And we don't pay taxes.
So they are leasing from the city.
Yeah.
And another point with the side lot is just that many times side lots are connected. So if the actual home property tax is going down while the side lot tax might go up, they typically would even out. The idea here is that who would really be affected are people who own over four lots, like a lot of lots in the city.
Right.
Is who this? We did a kind of analysis of John Hanson's properties, and we looked at what it would be without the split tax rate and with.
Yeah.
And he was paying about $45 per parcel for his 2,000 properties, and $1,000 for taxes on his vacant land. Under a split rate tax, it would be closer to about $120 per vacant parcel, which
yes.
isn't—it's a big difference, but not insane. But that
yeah.
would add up to about $250,000.
Yeah.
Okay.
Unfortunately, we are out of time. But John Anderson and Allie Gross, I'm really glad you joined us to help understand split rate taxation. Thanks so much for coming on the program.
You're welcome.
Going to do it for us today. Come back tomorrow when we're going to continue this conversation and our discussion about mass shootings in America, why we can't politically resolve this problem. This is 101.9 WDETFM, Detroit's NPR station, your connection to news, music, and conversation. We'll talk again tomorrow.